It's not very popular these days, but we're not preaching to be popular. This will be the 12th sermon in this particular series. Remember, the foundation of the doctrine of separation is found in the book of Genesis in chapter 1, where God separated the light from the darkness. And God told Israel in the Old Testament, and he tells you who are in the New Testament, to be holy. Why? Because he is holy. And God is holy, which basically means that he's set apart from all other of his creation. And there's nobody like God. There's nobody like the God of the Bible. And he commands his people to be set apart from the fallen world and to be set apart positively to him and his will for your life. And remember, we said that Paul the Apostle said, I'm separated unto the gospel. And we are set apart by the gospel, because when you've put faith in Jesus Christ, you're united to him in his death, burial, and resurrection. So when we baptize people, we baptize them under the water, say, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That means that spiritually, not physically, but spiritually, you died as far as what you were in Adam. You've been buried. Now you're raised and you're part of a new humanity. And as such, you're to represent God, who is unique. And through the gospel, you know, we can do that. We can be separated from the world and separated unto God. And it's a dedication to God. I was telling my mother when I left the house, I'm dedicated to God. I'm dedicated to God. My life is dedicated to God. And so I'm not doing my will. I'm not here because of me. I'm separated unto God's will. And that's important. And we need that. We need that for believers. And tonight I want to look at, when it comes to that, my sermon tonight is separate yourself from tattoos and cutting. Separate yourself from tattoos and cutting, you know. What's going on in America concerning tattoos? Only 13% of my generation have tattoos. 32% of the kids from my generation, the first generation of kids called Gen X, got tattoos. Went from 13 to 32. Then you get the millennial generation, this guy's generation, and you get 41% have tattoos, and they're getting more tattoos. And I found out, this is not just from Christian sources, even secular sources, they say statistics about tattoos and piercings is that people that get tattoos are more likely to be smokers. Isn't that interesting? More likely statistically to have spent time in jail. Tattooed people are more likely to have had a high number of fornication partners, people with tattoos. And they are more likely to be drug abusers and alcohol abusers, which we've preached about. There's only two kinds of wine. One is good and bad. Alcohol is bad. Alcohol, no, no. Let's say that. Alcohol, no, no. Getting you ready for VBS. And tattoos are harmful to your health. Tattoos, the ink from tattoos can be toxic. Piercings can and often do lead to serious infections in those that get those piercings. The increase in tattooing shows an increase in the disintegration of the American culture. Heavy metal rock musicians have done their part to lead the way for our culture to pursue tattooing and piercings. And I want to say tonight that we need a revival, amen, of the old-fashioned fundamentalism. And we need a new generation of young Americans to call out tattooing for what it is, self-harm, and a sign of moral and spiritual rotting of our American culture. It is important for you as a holy saint to stand for God's holy standards and against the satanic tattooing and cutting that is going on in the American culture. Therefore, tonight, I am preaching in this series on separate yourself from tattoos and cuttings. Sadly, the idea of tattooing is big money in America. It is a $1.5 billion business. I remember when tattooing was stigmatized as someone getting a divorce. I remember going down Main Avenue and a guy was, his business was giving people tattoos. And he was ready to tell his wife he wanted to commit suicide. And I ran into him, gave him the gospel, he prayed to receive Christ and got saved. I remember that, and that saved his hide and got out of tattooing. But I'm just saying that we live in a generation that is doing that. I remember when tattooing was stigmatized and someone getting a divorce was stigmatized. You say, when was that? The 1950s. I remember it very well. I remember someone, remember Eleanor Olson? She was a divorcee. My mom remembers her. That was stigmatized. Eleanor Olson. I remember someone coming out as being a sodomite. They wouldn't do that. We got people today, they go into funerals and weddings and into public gatherings and, oh, there's my sodomite wife. The guy, the woman looks like a man and the woman looks like a woman. Wow. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for that. I'm just saying to you, we live in a culture that is stigma, that doesn't, it stigmatizes Christians. It stigmatizes fundamental preachers like me. People are not comfortable to be around that, you see. Well, I'm not comfortable to be around open, blatant homosexuality. And all these piercings and everything. Now, I'm not saying I'm holier than thou and I wouldn't witness to people filled with tattoos. They need it, amen. But I'm just saying it shows the disintegration of our culture. Even when someone did get a tattoo back then, it was one, maybe two little tattoos. But now it's not uncommon to see men and women chock full of tattoos. How many of you have seen somebody chock full of tattoos? Yeah. Even more sad are believers with little or no discernment who see nothing wrong with getting tattoos. Just as people get farther away from God and His Word, they wear less clothes. You ever notice that? The more liberal the church is, the less clothes people wear in the church gatherings. And when people are close to God, they wear more clothes, you know. Look at the American Indians versus the Pilgrims and Puritans. One was dressed to the nines, even on the beach, and the other wasn't. By the way, God is against not mixed swimming, per se, but mixed nudity. If you want to swim fully clothed and modest, that's good. But I'm just saying that we're living in a day when we got away from God. And Romans chapter 1 in the Bible shows you the disintegration of all heathen cultures who turn to idols away from the living God. And you'll see them wear little or no clothes. And they also typically, listen to this, mark their bodies with ink to identify their tribes and their false gods. This has been so throughout history and is still so. But if you are a saved child of God, then your body belongs to God. Your body is now the very temple of the Holy Ghost of God. And I see people, oh, I just got this tattoo for my dead relative. Well, the Bible speaks just about that and says that that's what the heathen did. They got tattoos to memorialize their dead relative. Or, oh, I got a tattoo of Jesus. Well, did you ever see Jesus? No, and you're not honoring Him by putting a tattoo on your body that goes against His Word. So tonight, I want to talk to you about separate yourself from tattoos and cuttings. You say, why, Pastor? Number one, because God forbids them. Leviticus 19:28 says, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. Then notice, I am the Lord. Now, that is very important. When he says, I am the Lord, he's giving you something that is part of his unchangeable moral law. See, some people think the whole Old Testament is gone because, you know, the ceremonial law was fulfilled and all the law was fulfilled. No, it's not gone. Yes, the ceremonial law was a type of Christ, and some of these things had to do with just the Jewish people and things that they were to do because you're a Jew. But when he says, I am the Lord, that means it's part of his moral law that reflects his unchanging character. In other words, when God says, I'm against homosexuality, he's still against it. He's still against it. I am the Lord. I change not. When God says he's against marks in your body, and he says, I am the Lord, that means be holy. You don't do that. So I'm saying, here's the main reason that you should separate yourself from cuttings and from tattooing is because God forbids it. And you should not get even one tattoo. Somebody says, well, I'll just have a little one. Maybe I'll put it in my foot. Maybe I'll put it in my, well, wherever. No. God sees it. I am the Lord. I change not. And God knew that these marks to identify false gods, that's what they were for. But our God is holy. He won't share his glory with any false god. God also knows it's human nature that makes you want to go along with others due to social pressure. Many people, they want a tattoo or they want piercings, you know. Oh, because everybody else is doing it, so I am going to do it. I remember when people did masks because everybody was masking up and telling you to do it. I remember I went to a Chinese restaurant with Brother Matt, and they said, you got to put a mask on. I said right out loud in the restaurant, well, we're not going here. Let's go to the Mexican restaurant down the road. Remember that? We won't need a mask over there. And it was just a week or two later, the Chinese restaurant changed around. You know, you need to be a spiritual thermostat, not a spiritual thermometer. That is where you take on the temperature of the room, where you're like a chameleon Christian. You take on the coloring around you. No, you need to represent God and the Word of God. And so separate yourself from tattoos because God forbids it. I personally believe the mark of the beast may very well be an RFID tattoo on your hand or on your forehead. In case your arm got cut off, you know, can't live with your head being cut off. But that's going to be a big thing, and this tattooing is to move the world closer, I believe, to the mark of the beast system, which very well may be an RFID tattoo. God just says separate yourself from tattoos altogether. Number two, separate yourself from tattoos and cutting because they are a sign of the influence of devils over you. Mark chapter 4, verse 5 talks about that. When I was in Israel, I went up to Nazareth and saw a carpenter shop and saw the synagogue in Nazareth. And right near Nazareth, I went to the sharp cliff that goes down into the Sea of Galilee. And they had mines down there that people couldn't even go down there now because it was mined during one of the wars, you know. And there's still live mines down there, so we didn't go down swimming in that part of the Sea of Galilee. But that's where, remember, Jesus cast out the devils from the demoniac of Gadara, and they rushed down that cliff right there. And the Bible says about this man in Mark 5:5, it says, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. You know, the man was devil-possessed. He had countless devils. I believe it was 1,000 devils in him, called Legion. And this man was so devil-possessed that he was crying and he was cutting himself. You know a lot of teenagers that cut themselves? How many have known of teenagers to cut themselves? I remember in the Christian school having a teenager in my class that was cutting herself. And it's devilish. Satan does that. He wants to mar the body. He is jealous of God's people, and he wants you to cut yourself. And we hear of young people crying and cutting themselves. Often psychological reasons are given for that, but many times it's a spiritual influence of an unclean spirit. By the way, unclean spirit. There are spirits that lead people to fornicate. You know that? And it goes along with unclean needles and tattooing of the skin and all of that. It's dirty. It's dirty. I don't like to go into tattoo shops. They're just gross. And these young people need to get the power of the gospel to them. They need to get saved by Jesus. And like that man, he was clothed and in his right mind. By the way, he was naked too. That goes along with all of this stuff of Satan's influence. What's the fruit of the Spirit? It's love and joy and peace. This man had no peace. This man didn't have love. This man was crying. He didn't have joy. Man, when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you have joy from within you. And you don't need to cut yourself. That's Satan. That's the devil. I'm saying separate yourself from tattoos and cuttings, number one, because God forbids them, Leviticus 19:28. Number two, because they're a sign of the devil's influence in your life or the lives of those doing it. Mark 4:5. Number three, because they're a sign of false religion. 1 Kings 18:28. That says, and they cried, speaking of the men that were challenging Elijah. They worship Baal. Elijah worshiped Jehovah God. Elijah's name means God is the Lord. Jah is for the Lord, and Eli is God. God is the Lord. And these people challenged that, and they worshiped a false god, and they cried aloud, the Bible says, and cut themselves. Get that? And cut themselves, just like that demoniac guy, after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. That was a false god, the god of this world, Satan. And they were worshiping a false god, Baal. And this same false god behind Baal worship is the same evil god of this present day false religion. By the way, can I say to you that evolution is a false god. It's satanic. And folks that believe in evolution believe we came from animals, and that's why people go to Florida during spring break, young people, and they're fornicating all over the beaches like animals. Even worse, a false god, you see. And this tattooing and cutting yourself and inking yourself goes along with this kind of a false religion. And so tattoo pilers and cutting and inking of the skin of these young people show that it's of Satan. And it influences toward a false concept of God. And so separate yourselves from tattoos and cuttings, because God of the Bible forbids them. Number two, because they're a sign of the influence of devils. And number three, because they're a sign of false religion. 1 Kings 18:28. Let me say a fourth thing tonight, why you should separate yourself from tattoos. Because if you are a believer, your body is not your own. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Here's what the Bible says. What? Question mark. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? If you're a saved person tonight, your body was purchased by the blood of Jesus. He redeemed not only your spirit and your soul, he redeemed your body. He owns your body. Your body is important. He's going to raise your body.
Your body is, you're to glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. He purchased your body and he possesses your body. Not like Satan possessed that demoniac, but he possesses your body in the sense that he lives in your spirit, and his spirit and your spirit influences you to be holy in body and spirit as God is. Tattoos are not of God. You know, I heard John MacArthur kind of waffle on that. And I said, that may be an evangelical, but I'm not a neo-evangelical. I'm a fundamentalist. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying we need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to the God of the Bible and start separating from the world and unto God and realizing that your body is not your own. What if you were visiting a church with a beautiful building? We got compliments on the building and appreciate those of you that have been helping outside and helping inside and the parking lot and all of that. And it's a beautiful building. But what would you do if this beautiful building designed by a gifted architect, and you came in here and took some paint and just started writing messages, personal messages all over this church, what would you think of a church like that? You know, where the pastor encouraged you, just express yourself, kids. You know, right on the walls. It's just great. Well, your body is a temple of God. God made it. God bought it. And he commands you not to mark it with cuttings, permanent printings, and piercings. Separate yourself from tattoos and cutting, number one, because God forbids them. Number two, because they're a sign of the influence of devils. Number three, they're a sign of false religion, including evolution. And number four, because if you're a believer, your body is not your own. And number five, because it dishonors anybody's body, believer or not. You see, God made everyone. Amen. He made everyone, and he made the human body. And it says in Romans 1:24, wherefore, speaking of unsaved civilizations and cultures, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Now we're talking about fornication. Through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. We have gross pornography, gross fornication. This culture is full of it. Even unsaved man, though, is still made in the image of God. Thus, for a person to put permanent graffiti marks on his body against the plan of God is just ugly. It just is ugly. I appreciate attractive, modestly dressed ladies. I appreciate that, where the clothes accentuates their face, and it's a blessing to see that. But I see women walking around with short shorts and tattoos all over their legs and everything else, and men see that. You know what they think? Well, you're an easy mark. And it's true. There's not respect for the body, and that's why cultures go into that. Notice that it's also what people do when they get in immoral and unclean practices. The tattooing goes along with it. So people who tattoo are more likely also to be guilty of uncleanness, immorality. I want to say, stay away from both of these things, tattooing, and the Bible says flee fornication. You know, some guy, Christian guy, I heard, saw a woman in a restaurant. In fact, I think I saw that woman, and he just did a little dance with her. Just a little dance, and just harmless, you know. Nothing. He just said that's harmless. No, it's not harmless. You know what you're doing, fella. I know what you're doing. You see, the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman, and you're working it up by flee fornication. Stay away from all of that stuff and walk close to God. Be holy, because you know it's wrong. It's wrong to do those things. God forbids them. They're a sign of the devil's influence. They're a sign of false religion. If you're a believer, your body's not your own. And even if a person is not a believer, it dishonors that person's body to put permanent graffiti on something that God made, the human body that he made in his image. Well, number six, separate yourself from tattoos and cuttings, because number six, if you are a believer, then you are guilty of destroying God's temple. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians now 6 and 16. I'll read it. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? That's your body, believer. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, if you put a permanent mark on your body against the command of God, you are trashing and you are working to vandalize the temple of the living God. How many of you have seen students or others carve into our pews graffiti? How many have seen that? How many of you just love it when you see that? Nah. I don't like it. I want to sand it and varnish it and get rid of it. Or in our hymn books, I've seen that. Or in our bathrooms, I've seen that. In the church of God? No, sorry. This church is dedicated to be used by God's people. It's a house of the house of God. And so we don't want to see that. Well, how bad is it when somebody starts putting permanent graffiti on the temple of the Holy Spirit, their own body? I don't think it's a good thing. God doesn't think it's a good thing. So tattoo then, when you put tattooing on, you're destroying the temple of God, your body. You're bringing the value down, so to speak. So separate yourself from tattoos and cuttings. God forbids them. They're a sign of the influence of devils. They're a sign of false religion, that if you are a believer, your body's not your own. It dishonors the body of anybody made in the image of God. And then, because if you are a believer, you are, by tattooing and cutting, you're destroying the temple of God, which is your body. Number seven, I have two more. Number seven, because it is worldliness for you to do it. It is worldliness for you to do it. Deuteronomy 14:1 says, ye are the children of the Lord your God, ye shall not cut yourselves. When the Lord makes you as a child of God, he wants you to be separated from the world's crowd and their practices. That means that you should separate yourself from cutting your skin and permanently inking your flesh with these permanent tattoos. The Bible says that people that are not God's children are of their father, the devil, and the will of your father you'll do. But if you're a child of God, it says in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this, to the world, but be transformed. In other words, don't be conformed to the world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its way of thinking. Don't let the world squeeze you into its way of doing things. Don't be going along with the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, there are many compromising Christians that compromise God's standards. That they say, I'm still going to heaven. Well, you may go to heaven, but you'll be the least in the kingdom of heaven. You need to keep God's commandments. And you need to be faithful and represent God. And so separate yourself from the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because it's worldliness for you to cut and to tattoo your body. I want to say one more thing, and I'll be done. Number eight, don't tattoo your body because it wastes God's money. In Luke chapter 16, the Lord says in a parable that you and I, listen very carefully, that we are managers of our money. I know you can't take your money with you, but you're a manager of it. And God says that is the way to escape being controlled by money. If you look at yourself as the owner of your money, that's the wrong way to look at it. You are a manager. I had a guy manage apartments for me, and he was ripping me off of the money in the apartment. And I fired him when I found out. Then later I found out he was doing other things, and I sent him to jail for about 11 years. Yeah, because I was the owner. I didn't appreciate that. If you don't understand God owns you, he owns your body, he owns everything that you have, then you're going to look at yourself as the owner. We say, oh, I need to give 10% to God. No, you need to recognize 100% is God's. And you should give 10% to the Lord. And if you don't, you're a crook. And you should give it in the local church. God does not appreciate that. And out of love for God and appreciation, you should be willing to give him offerings of your love and cheerfulness and be very generous with God, because he's very generous with you, as he prayed tonight. He gives us our needs, and many times if that's not enough, he gives us our wants. I like what he prayed there. And David, he told David when he committed adultery, he said, I gave you all this, David, and if that weren't enough, you'd ask me, I'd give you more. Why'd you do this? Why'd you steal something that wasn't yours when you had all this? See, God says that's a great sin. When you think you're the owner of your body, you think you're the owner of your time. Do you tithe your time? You think you're the owner of your money. You are not. And you know what? I take it seriously, though, managing money. I'm good with money. I said I'm good with money. And some people actually put me down for that. Like, you're a money grubber. No, I'm not a money grubber, my friend. I am a manager of money for God. Amen. And I want to manage it right. And I want to do it well. One thing I like to do, I don't like to be in debt, because the Bible is against debt for believers. I don't like to be in debt. Every month I put money aside to buy a car. My car is debt-free. It was given to me. Patty Gary helped me with that. It was given to me. I've driven it for many, many, many years. Had people in the church, they've helped me fix it up, like John Payone, and keep it running. But I'll take every month and pretend like I have a car payment. My wife's car that we use for trips together paid off. It's been paid off for many years. My house has been paid off for many years. I do not like debt. Do not like debt. You say, why? Because you want to be rich? No, I want to do God good. I want to manage his money good. It's all dedicated to God. And so I put aside, just like I'm making a car payment right now, every month in an envelope money. And I take that money and turn it into gold, because gold is real money. And I put that gold aside. If I need to get a car, I can get a car. Cash. A good car. Not because I make a whole lot, but I'm saying you're a manager. And if I ripped God off of the tithe and stole it and kept it to myself, that God wouldn't help me. No. I'm saying that we are managers, and we are to manage our money for God. And so if you're unfaithful, the Bible says this, if you're unfaithful with, he says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You say, what are the true riches? That's what Jesus gives you at the judgment seat of Christ to rule the world to come. That's the true riches. That's what lasts. You can't take it with you over there. But if you're faithful with your money, he will give you real money. Did you hear me? Over there. And you'll own it, because you managed it for him here in this temporary life. And I'm just saying that we need to realize that. You say, what does all this have to do with tattoos?
I checked into the cost of tattoos. This was from a few years ago, because I've never had a tattoo, except where my wife slapped me. But no, I'm just kidding. A few years ago, a tiny tattoo under 2 inches was $30 to $100 for one tiny little beady tattoo. A small tattoo, 2 to 4 inches, $50 to $250 bucks. A medium tattoo, 4 to 6 inches, now you're up to $150 to $450. You say, I want a large tattoo, 6 inches or more. You may need one, 6 inches or more. I don't think he's going to get one, though. $500 to $4,000 for a large tattoo. No, that doesn't sound to me like you're honoring God by doing that. I'm calling you, young person, adult, married person, single person, separate yourself from tattoos and cuttings because God forbids them, because they're a sign of the influence of devils in your life, because they're a sign of a false religion. Because if you are a believer, your body is not your own. And because it dishonors your body, no matter who you are, to have tattoos on them. And because if you are a believer, then if you're tattooing your body, you are guilty of destroying a temple of God. And then it's worldliness for you to go along and get tattoos. And it is a waste of money that is really not your money. It's God's. We need to practice the truth and share it with others. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed this evening. And I have a simple